This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And I stole this question. I'm not going to lie. Let me give my, you know, give my attributes to this. It was a Bill Simmons, Ryan Russillo special. But I thought it was a great question. How many all-NBA players are in this draft? Because down, somebody like Ryan Gill is looking down at Terrence Ross. He's looking down at the prospects of Terrence Ross being, you know, picked by the Kings, or Shaedon Sharpe being that.
Mm-hmm.
How many all-NBA players are in this draft, in your opinion?
Dude, I don't like.
It's crazy. It's crazy to be like, nah, Terrence Ross, he'd be a bust. All right, Ryan, come back in here and tell me how many all NBA players are in this draft.
I mean, that's absolutely impossible. because to definitively say that, right? To definitively say. This player, it has to be the LeBron-like draft or the Luka-like draft. It has to be that. Like, it has to be someone who, you know, no, this is a high-level talent. Mm-hmm. There's no consensus number one.
No.
Like, we don't know if Jabari's going number one. We don't know if Chet's going number one. We've wondered what if someone gets infatuated with Jaden Ivey a little bit? What if someone gets infatuated with Shaedon Sharpe a little bit and Paolo falls? Like, there's no, we think we know the top three. I feel like we're pretty comfortable in saying who the top three is, but we don't know for sure. So to try to declare one of them being an all NBA player, man, that's tough.
And I only ask that because, like I said, just in that particular, you know, comment or whatever, like somebody was like, Terrence Ross, that'd be a failure. Well, come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
I look at this draft personally, me personally, just projecting out. I see one, this is almost like spades, right? One with two maybes.
Oh my. You've really entrenched yourself maybes. In spades. Okay. I see you.
I think Paolo has the most potential of being an all NBA guy. And the two maybes are Jabari and Shaedon.
Is there a Jabari and Shaedon? Okay.
Those are the two maybes.
Is there a reason you're so confident in?
I love
Paolo, by the way. I'm not asking that, like, with my nose up at you. Like, I love his game. I'm just curious what swayed you is.
Yeah, I look at Paolo and I can see in certain situations and being the guy somewhere. You know, I could see him putting up 22 points a night. You know what I mean? And part of being all NBA is, like, it's not all about scoring, but look down the all NBA list. These guys are averaging 22, 23, 25 points a night. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Jabari is that type of scorer. I don't think Chet is that type of scorer. And the other guys that are talked about, I don't know if they can reach those levels. So that's, like I said, that's not to say that's the only thing that's important is the scoring. But when you talk all NBA, that's the type of guy you're talking about. You know what I mean? And I see Paolo being there. Obviously, I think Shaedon has that type of potential and that type of possible ability. Jabari, I'm not sure if Jabari can get to those heights. I feel like he might be like an 18-8 type guy, which is great. We're talking all NBA.
I want to make sure I'm right in this.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Trae Young has not been an all NBA.
So that's what I was going to ask you. That's what I was trying to think about.
Trae Young hasn't been.
Mm-mm. So we're talking about Trae Young hasn't been.
Yeah.
An all NBA player.
Nope.
I
don't know if the right term is the youngest, the most recent draft pick who's been all NBA.
Luka?
I think we all know who it is. I don't think there's one I'm missing.
I don't think
that
so.
Trae Young was the one that I was looking at, and yeah, nah.
So
Trae hasn't made it.
So the safe pick here would be none. I don't think any of these guys, you know, would be, if I was playing it safe, saying like, I don't think any of them would be all NBA. That doesn't mean they're not good ball players.
Ja hasn't made it. What are we doing right now? Like, these dudes, the best young players in the game have not been named all NBA. So some of the best young players in the game have not been named all NBA.
Right, and these are like the best young players. Jaren Jackson Jr. has not made an All Star team. He's a damn good ball player.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't look at him as he's not an All Star. And he's, you know, not all NBA or nothing like that. He's a damn good player. He's a really good ball player. I think he's like, I don't know, I can pull it up in a second, but I think so far he's like 15, 16 points a night or something like that. Great defender.
Who, Jaren Jackson?
Yeah.
He's 15. Yeah, he's 15 points. Yeah, he's like 15, defender. 15, 5, and an assist.
He only got 5 rebounds a night?
Mm. Yeah.
He's still a great defender, though. Really good defender. So that's why I say, like, you take any of these guys and they're, let's say Jaren Jackson. I don't know if Jaren Jackson's ever going to be an all-star. It's still a good pick, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a good pick. So I just think people, I think they're looking for the stars, and I understand I'm looking for them too, but if they don't, they land on the clouds, as they like to say. Still a good ball player, man. Not all your picks are going to be all stars.
You might have lost me, bro. Like, I'm like Jason Tatum, all NBA third team. I mean, Donovan Mitchell's had to have made one, right?
He might have made a third. He didn't make a third team?
Nope.
Wow.
Nope.
Wow.
So right now, so I'm on 2000, what is this? 17? Yeah, I'm lost. I know Jokic is going to be in here somewhere. There's Simmons there. There's Ingram. Was Simmons? He's third.
How many?
One guy right now in the last 5 years has made an all NBA first team, and he did it twice.
Let's go to 2018, because that's the draft right there.
Okay.
How many of those guys are all stars?
Luka, Trae.
I think that might be
That's it.
And that's like people are talking about, that's one of the great draft classes in the last decade.
Yeah, Luka and Trae. That's it.
They got two all stars out of it.
Yeah, and you got good play, like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is in there. Obviously, DeAndre Ayton's in there. Jaren Jackson is in there. Colin Sexton, that's a sneaky, interesting offseason ahead for Cleveland. Colin Sexton ahead. Off-White is in here. Like, there's good, but your boy Michael Porter Jr., they're good. Miles Bridges, Mikal Bridges, there's good ball players in here.
But
that elite level player, it's not here, which... You know, quite honestly, this impromptu exercise that we just got into is now making me ask you more questions. Like, you know, we've talked about ceilings and floors. Shaden's going to crack that ceiling.
I think
he's going to crack this, which is damn near an uncrackable ceiling.
I think he's one of the one to two players in this draft, maybe three players that have a chance to. I do. Like I said, I got the one with two maybes. Actually, they're probably all three maybes. I'll probably go nil or I'll go zero. And I got three maybes, partner. I got three maybes.
Okay.
And that's Paolo, Jamar.
Yeah, I ain't your partner. You don't want that. You don't want that. There's certain things we don't admit in mixed company, and I ain't going to admit it.
I was sitting here, and I'm like, oh, I ain't got nothing, partner. I got three maybes, but I got to go zero just to play it safe. I got to go zero. I got three maybes, but that's about it.
If you're lost out there, don't worry. You're not alone. I'm not saying I'm lost. I'm just saying if you are, don't worry. You're not alone. All inclusive. That's all I'm saying.
I got a couple of queens that, you know, depending on the situation, I might be able to sneak in and win a book. But I got to say that as a maybe, partner.
You know, the real star-studded draft is at 16.
Ben Simmons, got a bunch of all-stars.
Brandon Ingram, Jaylen Brown, Devonta Sabonis, Pascal Siakam, DeJounte Murray. I don't know if this guy was an all-star. He wasn't, but I think he wasn't an all-star, so he doesn't fit what we're talking about. But I think extremely high of Malcolm Brogdon. He was in that draft.
DeJounte Murray was in that draft, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mentioned him.
Who
we didn't mention is the flamethrower. Buddy Hield is in this draft as well.
You say you said Jamal Murray, right?
I really wanted
to draft. He's not an all-star.
I didn't. Yeah, he's not.
Jamal Murray. I think he was on his way to be an all-star before he got hurt.
The great Yorgis Papayannis also in this.
Hey, and look, that draft.
This is tough, boy.
That draft, to be honest with you, it was probably looked at it like as like a six-person draft, five-person draft. Like, it wasn't thought of, and it's still not thought of as very deep.
But I remember Chris Dunn getting a lot of run.
Oh, yeah, Chris Dunn.
Chris Dunn was getting a ton of run.
Yeah.
I don't remember this. I'm not trying to be funny. I don't remember Buddy as much. I remember Buddy being that shooter. I don't remember.
Well, Buddy was getting a lot of love because of what he did in college. He's getting a lot of love. He had just taken Oklahoma to the Final Four.
No, I know, but I don't remember him like ever being talked about at like 1, 2, 3 or anything like that.
Not that high. I thought he was.
I remember Chris Dunn getting talked about like a lot.
Didn't he go three?
What Chris Dunn went five. Yeah. Jalen went three. Ingram two. Ben Simmons one. And Bryant West goes next. We'll get his thoughts on all of this stuff as D'Lo and Casey continue on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
Continues streaming live on the Odyssey app.
On the Odyssey app, on Twitch, on YouTube, on Facebook. It's D'Lo and KC brought to you by McQueen and the Violet Fog, the smoothest gin in the world, handcrafted in Brazil. We welcome in our man, the Graf. Let's try that again in 3, 2, and.
Oh, it's live, pal.
Okay, we welcome in the draft guru of the Kings Herald, our man, Bryant West. Bryant, thrilled to have you. It's Bryant West season. Here
it
on
is.
D'Lo and KC, and I've been able to see you kind of jump in and out of the chat during the first hour of this show and some of the conversation about the Sacramento Kings moving up to the 4 pick and the players that are available for the Kings there, and really anxious to get your thoughts. Is there a particular player in terms of Keegan Murray, Shaedon Sharpe, Jaden Ivey that you're high on, and are we missing one? Are there other names that we need to be throwing out here at 4?
I definitely think all three of those guys deserve consideration at this point. Assuming the draft goes as expected for the first three picks, which would be some order of Chet Holmgren, Jabari Smith Jr., and Paolo Banchero, Jaden Ivey's my pick right now. His offensive skill set, his athleticism, his quickness, that whole combo is exceptional for a combo guard. He was on display all season at Purdue. He showed big improvements in his shooting over the whole season. Was pretty efficient when he got to the rim. Showed a ton of off-ball skill that make me excited to see next to an extra primary playmaker. I'm just more confident in his star upside than I am for anyone else left realistically at 4. There are some skills and weaknesses that overlap with De'Aaron Fox and Davion Mitchell that make this less than a comfortable fit. But, you know, I don't think we'd all care that much when we get to see the three of them be the most athletic, fun backcourt in the league next year. So he'd be my pick right now, but ask me again in a month.
We will. We absolutely will.
We had the question with Keegan Murray, and we were like, he gets drafted by the Kings at four. He's immediately their starting power forward. Do you feel that way about Jaden Ivey? And if he is, what does that mean for everybody else at that position, the Davions, the Dantes, Terrence Davis? Like, does he come in day one and he's your starting shooting guard?
I don't necessarily think day one he comes in and is the guaranteed starter, but, you know, whichever one of Davion or Jaden Ivey started, like, the other one's going to be a fantastic off the bench guard for the whole of their career, however that shakes out. When it comes to immediate starter day one, the only person in this conversation that I'm pretty confident will start day one is Keegan Murray. So I've been agreeing with a lot of what you guys have been saying so far on the show about him. If the Kings want to leave this draft with a guaranteed day one starter, that's their goal for this playoff push, then he really is their pick. But, you know, I've been agreeing with your guys' ceiling versus floor opinion. And when you're pick number four, I want to swing for the fences too, which is why I have a preference for Jaden Ivey at this spot.
You think Jaden Ivey is swing for the fences over Shaedon Sharpe?
Not necessarily. Like, Shaedon Sharpe is definitely more of a swing for the fences. You know, it's really easy to see why Kenny and so many Kings fans are really excited about Shaedon Sharpe. Like, he has so many things that you just can't teach. That quick pull-up, his elite athleticism and his coordination, strong size for the wing position. He has the framework to just be an incredible player in the NBA. And I agree with Kenny that his ceiling is exceptionally high. And, you know, to be fair to a point that Kenny's been making the last couple of days, good players come from everywhere. He didn't need to have played a single minute of college basketball to be a strong pick in this class. The issue that I have is more on our end of this. It's more limiting to us on the outside of the NBA offices just to only see that high school film. Because, yeah, he's going to show skills that don't matter who he's playing. But what I love about scouting college players is getting to see that growth over 30-ish games. Mm-hmm. I really would have liked to see how Sharpe's three-point shot looked over a full year. I wanted to see how consistent his defense approach and awareness was. I wanted to see how he reacts to the bright lights of the big games. And, you know, he's not going to be a bust because we didn't get to see those things. It's just we're left with more of an incomplete picture than we are for the other players. Mm-hmm. And so I just really hope that Monty McNair and his team have been doing all the background research on Sharpe for months now because, you know, checking the stuff that we can't see. Kentucky let scouts into multiple practices this year. I'm really hoping the Kings got somebody in there. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, like, if Monty McNair drafts Shaedon Sharpe, I'm going to plot it. That's an upside swing that just takes major confidence, especially given that reported playoff mandate. And, you know, I always want the Kings to aim for stars. So I'd love to see them take him. I'm just going to be glad it's not my job on the line.
With Jaden Ivey, I want to talk about him for just a second. And you talk about that's the guy that you would go with. What has you sold on Jaden, and what are some of the concerns you would have if he was taken by the Kings before?
I think just his total package on offense, top end speed, agility, explosiveness, change of pace. 6'9 wingspan kind of makes up for the fact, like you've been saying, he's a little shorter than you'd like for that second guard next to De'Aaron Fox. But like when he got downhill, there were nobody in college basketball that could keep him out of the paint. Made his shots at a 65.5% clip at the rim. His craft once he gets into the paint is just beautiful. And like from day one in the NBA, I fully believe that is a go-to shot that he's going to be able to get to. That said, like I also believe in his shooting. He took a real big step forward as a deep shooter this year, although he definitely needs to get more consistent at it. I would say that the rest of his game is more of a work in progress. Like, his defense is incredibly inconsistent. And for, you know, one of the worst defensive teams in the last 5 years, that's a big concern. He's definitely more of a combo guard. I don't think that he should ever be counted on as like a primary point guard. And he's very much all about either getting to the rim or taking a deep shot. He just has no in-between game, no floater, no runner, no nothing. And as we see with De'Aaron Fox, like, you really have to threaten somewhere between that three-point line and the basket, or dudes are just going to know what to expect from you. So I'm not going to pretend like Jaden Ivey is this guaranteed super safe potential player. He definitely has some concerns, and a lot of those concerns overlap with stuff that the Kings already have. But to me, unless you're extremely confident with Shaedon Sharpe, and I know you are, Kenny, he to me seems like the best bet for a star player, whether he's on the Kings in a couple of years or whether you're looking to trade him in a year or two because he is what everybody thinks he is. So
what is it that, sorry, Casey, go ahead.
Real quick, I just wanted to comment on what Brian said. I'm pretty confident in Shaedon Sharpe, but more important than that, I just think his potential is a risk worth taking. That's kind of what it comes down to. Like, what he could be, it's worth taking the gamble. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, when Michael Porter Jr. was there, you know, he started having all these injury concerns, and, you know, and up until maybe the last day or two, I was just like, I love the skill set. I love what he can be, but I don't know if that's a risk worth taking. And obviously there's no injury concerns that we know of with Shaedon right now, but you just looking at his skill set and everything else like that, then there's a bunch of questions. There's a bunch of potential downfalls. It may not work, but I just look at what's going on and I'm like I keep saying, worst case scenario, because I always like to think these things, worst case scenario, he's not who I think he was. I can live with that. I can live with that. That was a risk worth taking. And that's kind of where it comes from with Shaedon.
I think that's really fair. And I, you know, I always want to go for the upside players. Sacramento Kings aren't going to break out of this and be a perennial playoff team by avoiding star upside and going for safe picks every time. It's just, it's really easy for me to say that. And it's pretty easy for you to say that when it's not our hot seat. When we're not sitting there, Monty McNair having to listen to Vivek say, hey, why didn't they make the playoffs this year? So, you know, there's a difference between what I'm hoping they do and what I'm realistically expecting this team to do, given everything that we've seen from them in the last year.
Yeah. The playoff mandate is sneaky. One of my favorite things, by the way, like, I'm just envisioning this scenario, like the memo goes out, I'm demanding you make the playoffs next year. You got it, boss. Like, yeah, cool. Yeah. Cool. Got it. Like, we keep talking, Bryant, we keep talking about Shaedon Sharpe, you know, particularly, you know, Kenny introducing his thoughts on Shaedon Sharpe to us a couple of weeks ago, where we thought, you know, any chance for the Kings to land him, they would probably have to move up. Now we realize they're in a prime position, unless someone else gets tantalized in the top three to take Shaedon Sharpe on his star potential. But what exactly is it about him that's got people like Kenny? Even you're speaking pretty highly of him. What is it about him that's got everybody so boom or bust?
I honestly think that a lot of that narrative just comes from the people like us, where our ability to watch him is just all about the high school tape, where we can see the skill set that translates to the next level. But there's just so much that, you know, and this goes all the way back to the early 2000s and the 90s when high school guys came out. Now, we have a lot more resources to look at these players now than they did. But, you know, college and, you know, the G League now is a stepping stone that showcases things that you just can't see in high school. Playing against grown men who have close to your athleticism or just outweigh you. you know, the grind of so many games and so many nights, and, you know, the big time cameras are on you. That's just, even for these big time high school players, they are on ESPN. But like, Shaedon Sharpe didn't participate in March Madness. He didn't get tested like that. So when people say boom or bust, to me, I'm not going to be able to look at his skill set and say, well, I think this is how he'd fail, or this is what's going to make him kind of a scary pick at the next level. To me, it's just, it's the attributes that you can't pin on him right now. You can't tell me that he's going to shoot X percent from three over a whole season. I have no idea what kind of defender he is, because all I've seen is him defend mostly smaller guys at high school. So I think the people who've been doing their homework on Shaedon Sharpe for years are a lot more educated than 90% of the people who are sharing their opinions about Shaedon Sharpe on Twitter right now. And my only hope is that the Sacramento Kings, any team that's this high in the draft that's really considering him, has been doing that research, because, you know, they'll have a much greater understanding of why he would be a risk or what the reward is. So, mm-hmm.
If we – you mentioned – sorry, Casey. You mentioned Jaden Ivey improving from the three-point range. It was almost like 10 percentage points. I think he went from 25% to 35%. You talked about his consistently still needed there. But you also said something that I'm sure a lot of Kings fans thought, because we were talking about Jaden's position and him essentially being a smaller two. And you start – you know, if anything, you got to look at him as a combo guard versus, you know, a primary point guard. And I think I'll speak for me. I won't speak for anybody. We're hearing guard. Oh, we're doing that again. Like De'Aaron Fox, the guard, right? Tyrese Halliburton, the guard that we traded. Davion Mitchell, the guard we just drafted. So there's Keegan Murray there. And you noted this earlier beautifully, and we should probably dive into this more, but he is solidly a starter when he enters the, when he walks onto the team because of a position of need. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jaden might be, probably is. You probably have to figure out what you're going to do with Dante and Terrence Davis as well, because I don't imagine both of them are coming back if you're drafting Jaden Ivey. But I think there's a collective like, oh, best player available, it's another guard.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. We're just drafting a team of guards here.
Yeah. Unfortunately, this is the complication. Like, no Kings fan's going to complain that they jumped up in the lottery, but this is the complication of ending up at pick number four, as opposed to like pick number two or three, where we could have been talking about, you know, one of those more power forwards who really does fit this team. The complicating factor here is, if you believe, like I do, that Jaden Ivey's just, he's a tier of talent higher than, you know, Keegan Murray. And, you know, Is there a logical argument for this Kings team has drafted all these guards? What they really need is some consistent play at the forward spot. Yeah, Keegan Murray is going to do that from day one. But there's also a – Kings don't break out of this playoff slump and becoming actual meaningful team by continuing to be safe, by continuing to take the guys who may not have anywhere near as high a ceiling, but they fit this team better. And you know me, last year I was arguing for all these wings and forwards because that's what I really wanted the Kings to build up on. But that was because I didn't see anyone, including Davion Mitchell, being heads and tails above any of the wings and forwards in that class. To me, Jaden Ivey is a significantly better prospect than Keegan Murray. And that's what breaks the tie for me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We talk about these three guys, and I do believe it comes down to these three guys for the pick. Do you think that there's much of a chance that they even trade this pick? I know a lot of people are really on that, like, hey, trade the pick, whatever the case may be. I don't see that yet. I see them making the pick. And like I said, unless the price is something that you're getting an all-star back in return, I'm just making the pick. That's how I'm going about it. I'm just making the pick. Unless it's a legit all-star, that's who I'm going with.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I don't want to see the Kings trade this for just a starter. Like, the moment this pick jumped up, you have to either pick somebody that you truly believe is a long-time franchise, you know, changing player, or you got to go out and get somebody who really alters the course of this squad. Now, if you're telling me, hey, Detroit is going to offer up Grant and five, mm-hmm. or Sadiq Bey and five, that's my preference. Yeah.
Throwing Bagley and you got a done deal. Oh, never mind.
Those are the kind of things I want. But, you know, Collins, you were talking about that earlier. That's like the very least I'm going to want right now. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see Monty McNair just trade this pick to just add another starter. And main thing here, I don't want to see him trade it until the moment the Kings are on the clock, because right. there is a chance that Jaden Ivey or Shaedon Sharpe jumps into those top three. And then suddenly we're talking, oh, Chet Holmgren's there. Oh, Jabari Smith Jr.'s there. Oh, Paolo Banchero is right there. And to me, all three of those guys would absolutely, I'd run to the podium to grab any one of those if I'm the Sacramento Kings.
Really? Okay. All right. You've said so much, so much that is sticking out right now. And you're absolutely one of my favorites when it comes to going to draft stuff. Explain Chet Holmgren to me like I'm five.
Okay. I don't want to undersell that big question mark, because, you know, everybody's going to look at that dude. He's as skinny as I was at his age. He's going to get knocked out by guards at this level. I'm not going to undersell that until, you know, dudes at every position are going to go at him again and again until he proves he can do something about it. But to an extent, that's also a weakness that any smart team can immediately begin to mitigate. And everything else in his game just screams that he's a dude you just cannot underrate. He is as physical as you could want from a big man, despite the fact that he's, less than 200 pounds. His rim protection is fantastic. And honestly, the combination between him and Sabonis, like, that's a great pairing.
At the same time?
At the same time. I think Chet Holmgren's got to be a power forward in the league. I do not want to see him have to go up against Joel Embiid or Rudy Gobert or Jokic every night. I want to see him be more on the perimeter big man, because I think that's where his strength is, and coming in on the weak side to protect the rim. To me, he is top two player in this class. I definitely think he is more risky than Jabari Smith Jr. or Paolo Banchero, but yeah, like, if he's there for Sacramento, I'm happy. I'm celebrating. And that's weird for me, because I'm not a fan of Gonzaga.
Right. Go Gales. So I'm kind of with Damian on this one. Like, I think he's going to be a good ball player. But like I said, I guess my mind is somewhere else, and maybe I need to bring it back. I'm talking franchise altering. I'm talking franchise altering. Like, do you ever see Chet being a guy that puts up 20 and 10?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I will say, I don't look at him and think, boy, he's going to be the engine of an offense, or he's going to be the absolute leading scorer of a team that competes. But
do you, real quick, not to cut you off, do you see anybody like that in this top seven?
Yeah, I do. Paolo Banchero, to me, could lead a team in scoring, could be the engine of an offense. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'd have him below the other two is that he shares a lot of the redundancies that with Sabonis. So, but to me, like, both Jabari Smith Jr. and Chet Holmgren are very good, different fits next to what the Kings already have.
Brian, this is great stuff, man. You got me.
For real.
Significantly better prospect than Keegan Murray. I wrote that in big bold letters. I'm gonna keep that one around for a while. Well, we said it. It's Bryant West season here on D'Lo and KC. I'm sure we'll be talking again. I'm gonna be following all your writings and all your podcast appearances. The second you change your mind on somebody, you're gonna have to come back on and explain it. Just real quick on the way out, Jalen Durant, AJ Griffin, nothing to think about.
Oh, AJ Griffin's one of my sleepers in this draft class.
Like, okay,
you can't ask for a better one of the most efficient jump shooting seasons any freshman in recent history, and I don't have to sell you guys on the value of an elite shooter in Sacramento, but it's really easy watching his tape. He's pretty stiff, and a lot of what was happening at Duke was kind of hampered by that, but also that he was pretty much the only consistent deep shooter that they had. But going back just 2 years ago, he was an incredibly explosive, athletic dude. And to me, like, he missed 2 years due to injuries and COVID. And then he came to Duke and he'd gained like 30 pounds of muscle. I think a smart team grabs Griffin early, gets him working with their athletic trainers. He may have the skill set, the shooting ability, physical tools. He may be the surprise star hidden in plain sight. So I don't see the Kings going for him, but if they did, to me, I'd be excited for him in a lot of the same reasons that I would be for Sharp. Because if the Kings are willing to make that gamble, boy, they must really believe in this talent. They must feel like I do that he's just a smart team away, real good development from being a two-way star.
Bryant West talks, man. We listen. I think AJ Griffin's got to be our next deep dive, KC. Bryant, great stuff, man. We appreciate you as always, my friend. Look forward to talking again soon.
Appreciate coming on the best radio show in SAC.
My yes, man. Sir. Appreciate yeah, like you.
That. Keep agreeing with me. That's how you're going to get somewhere.
I love it.
you hear him. Agree with Kenny. That's Bryant West. He recently did the King's Pulse podcast with our man Brandon Nunez that you could check out. But, man, he's got me. Well, one, he, talking about Chet as a power forward, I'm okay, now you've got my attention in terms of not necessarily the league. I'm not really concerned about the league. But Sacramento was something I was like, all right, because I did. I can't. I know this is wrong, and I'll admit it out the gate. When I saw Chet a couple of nights ago, I immediately was like, "Oh boy, Sean Bradley is back! Like, what are we doing?" I get it. That's wrong, and that's not fair. Being skinny, it doesn't matter. The dude's going to get in an NBA program. His body's going to change. He'll put on size. I don't know how much size he's going to put on. He's going to get bigger. He's going to understand the strength of the NBA game here real soon. But that was my first thought. But I like the thought. I like the vision of him as a power forward, because him against Joel, him against Nikola Jokic, as physical as those two dudes are, you know, that's tough. Now you're now you're going to go face Giannis Antetokounmpo. All right. AJ Griffin, I think that's a guy we need to dive into. But man, Jaden Ivey, significantly better prospect than Keegan Murray. Let's talk more about that. We'll get back to the phones as well before Trista Crick joins us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Steelin with KC.
And I'll just say I got that question I want to ask all you guys. I know probably going to this Jalen Ivey.
You need to write it down. Just a word of advice.
Oh,
Steelin KC, ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC continues, streaming live on the Odyssey app.
It's a shame. I the only time I ever hear the second and third verse of the song is by accident. Hey, Siri, skip. I didn't mean to. No, I just wanted to hear the beginning and move on. It's D'Lo and KC here on ESPN 1320. During the commercial break, Kenny gave his promise ring to Shaden Sharp.
Promise ring. See, now he's gone too damn far.
He's Drew Hill. I never make a promise that I can't keep. He over here singing love songs to Shaden Sharp. Hey, it's all right. That's all right.
Hey, look. He interviews with the Kings and maybe some other teams, you know. Then he says, I'm leaving the combine.
Oh. Could be.
The funny thing about it is I'm alluding to the fact that the Kings made him a promise. A couple people were in the chat are talking about OKC. They're just throwing it out there. OKC made the promise. I could see Presti doing that.
Making the move?
Yeah. Presti is probably out of the top three. I could see him making the move to kind of mess up the apple cart and take Shaden Sharp at two. I don't think Houston would. I don't think Orlando would. I think
What would Houston do in that case? Would they stick to Paolo? Would they go to? Would they go to Chet? Assuming that Jabari went first.
Yeah, I'm assuming Jabari went first. I think they would go Paolo, and that would be Chet. That would put Chet at four.
Chet at four. What would you think about? What would you think about Chet Holmgren at four?
I'd be scratching my head a little bit. I'd be nervous. I'd be nervous because I don't know. I'm just, and it's weird because I do think he's like really skilled. I like his skill set, but just I don't know what he's going to end up being in this league. I don't know how people are so sure about what he's going to be in this league because I'm not sure. I'm not sure that he's going to be able to score at a high level. And if he's going to be, I think he's going to be a good rebounder. I think he's going to protect the rim pretty well. But is he going to be somebody that gets in foul trouble often? And I just don't know. I don't know.
Here's what ESPN wrote. Holmgren, arguably the most talented prospect in the draft. In Holmgren, the Thunder can acquire the draft's biggest difference maker defensively, a force on the glass and a rim protector who also shot 39% from beyond the arc and brings significant upside as a passer, finisher, and shot creator.
I can see it. I'm just not seeing it, if that makes sense. I'm not seeing it as clearly. It's like the thing they do on Twitter where, you know, they have a blurry picture and then they have a picture of glasses and then you see it clearly and it's somebody else. I'm still seeing the blurry picture. I'm seeing the blurry picture. I see it's there. I see what's going on. I'm still seeing the blurry picture. But I agree with Jack in the chat from my intel, my ears to the street. You said Jabari going first. I think Chet goes number one to Orlando.
Oh, I'm just looking. I use Jabari because of I had an ESPN mock draft in front
of me. Which would go crazy at that point because if Chet does go number one and say OKC takes Shaden, now it's Paolo or Jabari. I feel like Houston would go Jabari. That would bring Paolo to Sacramento. I'd be excited for that. I'd be excited for Paolo coming here.
Chet's listed as 195 pounds, and I absolutely believe that's a lie. Now we don't need to lie about his height, just lie about his weight. 60% from the field, 39% from three, 71% from the free throw line. He averaged close enough to call 10 rebounds per game. Just under two assists. So hearing about how he's a good passer, the numbers don't, I mean, maybe he is a good passer and they're just not resulting in shots and 14 points per game. So,
yeah, I think he's a good, from everything that, you know, when I watch Gonzaga and then just hearing his story, I mean, I think he has guard like skills in that respect in passing and everything. I could be wrong. I don't know. I feel like he might have been, you know, the Anthony Davis type where he had a super growth spurt. So before that he was a guard and then he had the growth spurt and it took him to this, you know, the center type frame. So because of that, you know, he had a good amount of time being a guard, being a distributor, being a playmaker. So he understands that. And he brought those skills with him when he grew. I don't know if that's how it played out. I feel like I heard that somewhere, but I do think he's pretty good passing big man.
Tournament games for Chet. Last five tournament games for Chet. 11, 9, 19, 8, and 17. Those are his point totals. Rebounds, 14, 9, 17, 8, and 8. Bryant, come back and explain it to me like I'm two.
What are you doing that Memphis game? Because I remember watching that, and I was like, eh.
9 points, nine rebounds, four blocks, five personal fouls.
He was in foul trouble. He fouled out, actually.
He was in foul trouble in the Arkansas game, too.
Chet.
I'm sure there's.
Here, I'd be super intrigued. I'm not even gonna say like, oh, I'd be super excited. I'd like, I gotta see this guy up close and personal. I gotta see what's going on.
Is there? This is dumb. I recognize that. Is there an instant concern about drafting like a dude that size, like a 7-footer, and you start, oh man, what about their feet?
Yeah, all the what time. About their, that's what I worry about all the time.
What about their knees? What about their ankles? What about, because obviously he's not carrying much weight, so it's not, you know, it's not necessarily a Greg Oden, Joel Embiid, like those guys were, you know, a little bit different size. Spoiler alert, it's worked out okay for Joel. He'll gain size his first, you know, 3 years. Go back. I mean, not that skinny. Dude, Dwight was super skinny when he entered the league.
Mm-hmm.
He got in there with the Orlando Magic, and, you know, he says he ate a bunch of candy. I think that's a work, unless he is just unless he's just a physical freak. By the way, do you see any Orlando Dwight and Bam Adebayo? I was watching Bam last night. I was like, man, I feel like this dude's got everything. I just don't know that he knows how to put it together. Like, I was watching him move, catching passes. He was doing so much before the game got out of control. I'm like, man, there's a potentially dominant player inside Bam Adebayo.
I don't see that.
Okay.
I don't see Dwight.
The hell
Dwight
do I know was, then?
Dwight was different.
Bam. No, Orlando Dwight was special, but 100%. Like, he, all 75 Hall of Fame worthy.
Yeah.
But I was just watching the way he, you know, the way he's built, the way he moved. I was like, man, I feel like Bam should be different.
I almost feel like
his place in the league should be different.
They got him playing center. I think he's a little bit out of position. He's a lit to me. And he's great. Like, I think he's a really good ball player. I enjoy watching. Mm-hmm. But a little bit of a tweener. Like, he doesn't really stretch the four well enough, I don't think, to be a four. And I think he gets away with being a center in the way the game is played today. But ideally, I'd have him as a four. Mm-hmm. That's what I've always thought his position was. But they play him at center. So when he goes up against Robert Williams, that's when you see he's not really a center, because Robert Williams is a center.
Yeah,
and that's where it comes out. Like,
yeah,
he's about an inch or two shorter than what you would want at that center position. Mm-hmm. So,
I like Bam. Like, I keep too. Thinking, right there, and like he's still right there. He's just still in the same spot. And maybe this is just who he is as a player. And again, he's really good. But there were just moments, there were flashes last night where I was like, man, this dude is—he should be really special.
Mm-hmm. He's good.
I hope he can. I hope he can put it together. Yeah, I like him. There's a good fit there for him.
Yeah.
I feel he's just, something's missing with him, and I don't know what it is. Is the center? Think this through just a second. Talk amongst yourselves.
You know what I'm saying? Let's talk about boxing here while he thinks
it's
about
it. Okay. I got it. It came to me just like that. Last time you brought up boxing, you were hooking hookers. I got it. Let's not go back there.
Can't hook with the hooker.
Is the center the most like wild card position in basketball? Like, when you, like, drafting a center is really tough because of how physical it is. And there's obviously the physicality involved with being center. Obviously, there's the physical part of it. There's the fighting. There's the, you know, the actual, you know, impact on your body. But there's a mental aspect to that, too. You always hear the line, feed the big man early, because if they don't eat, they're going to get bored down there. They're not going to keep working for that position in the post. It's got to be difficult for these bigs who don't get the ball when you're working and you're grinding and you're fighting in the post, and a possession goes by and another possession goes by and another possession goes by and you're not getting the ball. You come back on the next possession. What the hell am I going to fight for?
Right.
I'm down here scrapping with these 300-pound dudes and you won't throw me the ball. Well, maybe not 300-pound dudes, but you down here scrapping with these big dudes and I can't get the rock.
I can believe that. Absolutely.
It's a wild card position.
It is, man, and is tough to evaluate. I think that's part of the reason why so many times people talk about, like, the big men always being late to develop and things of that nature. Yeah, it's a crapshoot. You don't know how these guys are going to go. You don't. The other thing about it is these guys typically have always just been the biggest guys, you know, so all throughout high school and college, they're the biggest, you know what I mean? And they're able to bully guys and do all that other stuff. And when you get to the NBA where you got other 7-footers, 6'11", 16 guys around you, it's like, oh, some of the things I used to do don't necessarily work the same way.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.